Welcome to the next installment of the Shootin' and Shavin' podcast with Steve Struve of the Shave Shack of Texas and Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59 of Sharpologist.com. When products expire, okay. and how you deal with that kind of thing in the shack. Now, luckily, I know the shack is environmentally friendly. I mean, it's got an air conditioner.
So climate controlled.
Climate controlled, that's it. So when have you seen, or have you even seen, products go bad? I remember some time ago you mentioned that there was a aftershave splash that's separated on you. But that's unusual.
That was when it was new.
Yeah.
That's known as improper chemistry.
Right.
But most of the things in there, I've got a pretty scientific device that I use to check for expiration. You open them up and you insert it real close to the device and take a deep breath.
And that deep breath is that device is your nose.
Yes. It runs into the nasal cavities and the nose knows. It's a funny story. I used to try and make cosmetics. I say try. But anyway, making cosmetics and like the aftershave, a lot of people think, well, if I get the ingredients, I just mix them together. Well, it's a whole lot more involved than that. Temperatures and what temperature to be at when you mix and what have you. Anyway, it's a long story, but there's a saying, if you can smell a product going bad, it's been bad already. In other words, by the time you smell it, it's already been bad. So,
well, from your attempt at it, what were you trying to do? Make you weren't trying to make a shaving product. You were trying to make something else?
No, mostly face products, moisturizer and skin toner and, different stuff like that.
And how long ago was this?
No, this has been probably 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Some of it worked, some of it didn't, but it was a trial and error kind of thing and very time-consuming. Occupied the whole kitchen.
Oh.
Yeah. Those were the good old days.
So if a product does expire on you in the shack, what do you do with it? Just toss it out?
Use it myself. A lot of stuff doesn't come with an expiry date. A lot of, like in cosmetics, perfumes, colognes, stuff like that, you'll see on the back, it'll have a little code and it'll say, have a number, like 12 months or something like that. A lot of people think, well, it's no good after 12 months. Well, that date means 12 months after opening.
And it's also a European Union kind of label. It's not necessarily, from what I understand,
American friendly as far as interpreting what it's saying, unless you know what you're looking at. But, I've got perfumes and colognes in I've got a refrigerator upstairs in my bedroom that's, if you would open the door, you'd go, that's the best smelling refrigerator I've ever smelled. But I've got stuff in there that's 10 years old.
But, again, it's being refrigerated, too, so
right,
it's not like
right.
Sitting on the counter somewhere.
And perfumes, colognes, you put them in, you don't want to freeze them. And it's not really a hard refrigerator. It's like, say somewhere around 40 degrees, 38 to 42, something like that. And it kind of puts everything to sleep. And if occasion comes up where, I remember I did this 5 years ago and I wore that, whatever. You need to take it out and let it kind of come to room temperature for 24 hours.
Really?
In other words, don't take it out of the refrigerator and spray it on and expect instant magic. Of course, it may come to, warming up on your skin. But yeah, I've got stuff in there that's 10 years old.
Did you learn that technique from your days as a wine distributor?
Yeah. Well, the refrigeration does magic to lots of stuff.
But I was thinking more in terms of shave creams in particular, after you've uncapped them and started using them, there does become a time where it starts to dehydrate.
It's going back to its natural state.
Yeah. But often I've found just adding a few drops of water and mixing it around with
And you can talk to Rod, who can tell you all about that.
Rod with who?
Sterling.
Ah.
And basically when a cream reverts back to a solid, the quicker it does it, the cheaper the production, the less quality production. Like the English, like the three T's. How often do you see one of those revert to solid?
It does, but it takes
a long time. Yeah. Or some of these cheapo creams, you uncork them, you can't barely get a month out of them. There's a rock in there, you know.
And I've discovered tubs, which makes sense, perfect sense, because there's going to be more air. Tubs are more susceptible to dehydration than a tube where there's less air.
Well, you throw, look at the
air cover.
The coverage on the area of the top of the surface is much larger than the area coming out of a tube. And the area coming out of a tube most often is capped up immediately.
That's true.
Or it's a tub. You may open it and maybe you put water in there and mix it up and then it sits on the counter for a day or so, you know. Tubs are abused.
Do you let when you use a shave soap, do you let it sit out on the counter open and just let it waft into the air or do you just open it and close it? You personally?
You use a shave soap? I don't understand.
When you use a shave soap, you unscrew the jar. Yeah. Do you just let it stand there for a while and let the scent kind of waft into the air? Or do you open it, load it to your brush, and then close it right up again?
And go to town? A little bit of leave it open. I mean, I don't make a point of leave it open for an hour before and an hour after or whatever. But usually open it up and just kind of go to town.
And then
we'll leave it open to dry out.
See, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, I never cap one right back up when it's got moisture. And I always let it air dry out and then cap it back.
How long do you usually keep it like that, keep it out to air dry?
Half a day to a day. Hmm. You know, I shave in the shower usually, so I've got a whole selection in there. It looks like a miniature barbershop in the shower. So, you know, I'll use one and just leave the top, or I'll invert the top and set the tub on top of it and use it. And then when I'm done, I invert the tub. So it drains, yeah.
I never thought of that. I just let it sit out in the open.
Stick around. I'm full of good ideas. But, yeah, I just invert it in the shower. And the next morning I get in and I'll pick number two and number one gets capped and, you know, just turn it over. You know, it's upside down, so I turn it right side up. It's drained out. It's had all night. And cap it up.
I'm going to have to try that. I never thought about that before like that.
Well, take notes. It's very important.
I will.
All right. I expect a report later, and we'll have a test on this subject.
Okay. So with the pandemic kind of starting to resolve itself, at least here in the United States,
mm-hmm.
What do you think is the future of post-pandemic beards? Are you going? I see you've got one. Are you going to keep it?
Probably not. I mean, for a while, I guess, until it gets hot, which could be any day now. It's already humid, so the heat's coming right after that. To be honest with you, I haven't thought about it. But I've got time. You know, my first beard I grew was as I graduated high school, so I only had that one for 41 years. So this one's only been around for, 6 months? I don't know that I can make it another 41 years, though.
And I see, no one else, because this is a podcast, but I see you've got a quite neatly trimmed beard going right now. What kind of products are you using on that to keep it tidy and in shape?
I don't really use any. I wash it every day, and I don't use any of these fancy beard washes. Of course, I've got them for sale if you might like to buy some, but no, I just use regular shampoo. And towel dry, and then use beard oil. I've been using some from Schmier, which is out of Germany. And just put a few drops in your hand, rub it all in, and rough your beard all up, and then brush it out. And then let it go.
So you massage it in and then brush it?
Right. Brush it, yeah.
What are you using to trim your beard now?
A barber.
Oh, so you're going to the barber rather than doing it. Oh, okay.
And then, of course, I trim up. I've got one of those little handheld electric trimmers.
You do have a handheld trimmer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can kind of keep it tuned up, and when it gets out of control and Once every 6 weeks or so, I go and get a haircut and a beard trim and all that stuff. I'll let you know.
But you're using Shamir for pretty much everything related to your beard.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't do a lot with it. I mean, a lot of guys go, well, I have the balm, and then I use that on a certain, and then the other day, it just gets too time-consuming, and I've got other stuff to worry about. I've got one product, and it works, so. And the Shamir stuff works very well across their whole line. You know, shave soap and everything they make seems to be pretty good.
Let's talk about upgrades for a minute, particularly razor upgrades.
All right.
I think you'll agree that the Mirkor 34C and the Edwin Jagger DE89 are pretty much the bog standard, the most popular double-edged razors right now.
Yep.
If you had a suggestion for somebody who wanted to try an upgrade from that, what would be a suggestion or two for you on that? Let's start with just another double-edged razor.
Well, in the Mercur, I like a 38. You know, it's kind of along the lines of 34, long handle. I'd really have to think about as far as an upgrade. Of course, upgrades, I'm all of Stan stuff is pretty amazing.
Stan being above the tie.
Above the tie, that's right. All the above the tie stuff, and I particularly like his slant and his single blade.
And he makes a number of different kinds of heads for double edges. So
absolutely.
I mean, if someone was so inclined, they could try a number of different things just from
he's everything
the
from
line.
Barely doing it to aggressive cut your face off. You know, whatever you're used to.
By the way, Stan recently retired, and his son has taken over the business.
Yep. Well, they make a good product, I'll say that.
Rockwell has the multiple base plates, and they have it in stainless steel and in chrome, and version 2 of their adjustable razor.
Okay.
So what if somebody decided to try another blade format, like a single edge? Any ideas there?
Well, single edge, of course, you got, as I said, stands. And the old Cobra, which is not around anymore, was a fantastic razor. And, of course, one blade is the king of all of them.
Oh, we were talking about Pulse Silver Iridium blades earlier off mic.
Exactly.
And I was curious what blades you have in stock still. I know you
Pulse Silver.
You used to have the Pulse Silvers. Somebody bought them out from under you.
Right, right. They called me on the phone and said, I'll take them all. I said, they're on the way. So I'm out.
What else do you have in the shack for four blades, double-edged razor blades?
I've got just about everything. Got most all the Russians. Even got Sputniks and Volstocks and all the Gillettes, the greens, the yellows, blacks, whatever you need. Got a little bit of everything. I even have Derbies, the mildest blade ever made. Sometimes it'll cut, sometimes it won't. But it won't cut you.
Any insight on, from your perspective, which are the most popular? Or are they all selling about equally for you?
I think they're all about equal. It depends on what day of the week, you know. Of course, I sell sample packs, so those are a mixture of a bunch of different stuff. And 1 week it's this, 1 week it's that. And, of course, feathers are always a good item. Feathers always sell.
Since this is shooting and shaving, let's talk about shooting for a little while.
All right.
What's coming up at the shooting range?
Well, the next event we have is a Glock pistol match. They have a limited schedule of matches that Glock sponsors around the country. They go from range to range, and they're going to be at our place on June 19th. And it should be a pretty good turnout. We're expecting 600 to 800 shooters. So,
really? Even with the current restrictions of travel and whatnot, you're still expecting a big crowd?
Oh, these people don't care about that.
Oh.
I mean, if there's a restriction, they'll just drive at night.
And for those who aren't familiar with pistols, like me, what's different or special about Glocks?
Well, it's just a brand, you know. I mean, it's just, when you say Glock, it's a brand, a manufacturer, and they were the first manufacturer to make, and this is going back several years, to make synthetic non-metallic frames and all that stuff. And it's a striker-fired weapon. Was one of the first striker-fired. And anyway.
What's striker-fired compared with a standard pistol?
It's just a different mechanism for when you pull the trigger. Between pulling the trigger and it goes bang, there's a lot of moving parts in there. So it's a different style.
Well, let's take a very commonly seen Colt 45 that you might see on TV.
You're
Is there
about
a big visual difference between the two?
By 45, you mean a 1911, not a revolver?
Correct.
Okay. Now you're talking.
Is the Glock a revolver? Or is
No. It's a semi-automatic.
It is semi-automatic.
Has a magazine, everything. It's semi-automatic with a magazine. That's about as close as it gets to a 1911 Colt as you're going to get. Everything else in between them is different. Totally different concept.
Okay. How many rounds in the typical magazine?
It depends. I mean, you can go short single stack, six or so, up to double stack, 14. Stick mags on the Glock, they got 33 rounds. I mean, sky's the limit, you know, depending upon what you want. But average carry gun would have 7 to 14 if it was a single stack or double stack.
And what kind of range do these pistols shoot at with the best results?
Now, what are they capable of, or what were most competition shot at?
Competition.
They shoot anywhere, you know, from, I'd say, 5, 10, 20 yards. You know, I'd say the average competition is 10 to 15 yards.
And are competitions a timed thing or an accuracy thing?
Both. It could be either one or it could be a combination.
How would you score a combination? How does a referee score two different things between speed and accuracy?
Well, you have a clock, a shoot clock, you know, the beep, the buzzer goes off and the guy starts running, gunning, shooting, whatever. And then a lot of the targets have like an ABC zone where A is like a dead center and a B would be in the gut or maybe the shoulder, and a C would be just a clean miss. So then you add those up and they have a formula. It's very scientific.